Some words from that Old Testament reading. Samuel said, "Here I am, Lord. You called me." Now, I'm sure many of you have, or quite a number of you have a husband or a wife or a special friend. And I wonder if you remember the time when you first met them. Oh, my brow's gone up there. I should watch out. Do you remember the time you first met your beloved? Do you remember where that was? Yeah? Is there some nods or are we asleep? Yes? Do you remember what you were wearing when you first met them? Oh, come on. This is scratching some minds, isn't it? Yeah, come on, come on. Do you remember what you were wearing? Do you remember what you said and how long that evening went on? It's a special event, isn't it? It's very often when you meet the one who is really special in your life that you haven't realized it at the time, but it's later on that you remember what has happened. I know when I first met my husband, Freddie, I could tell you exactly where we were, what I wore, and the fact that we actually spoke all night. That shows how well we must have got on straight away. We actually stayed up, sat up all night, not just to the two of us, but there were others there as well, and talked all through the night. There's that expression, isn't there? Love at first sight. Well, that's probably not what you think when you first meet someone. But I think what it is, it's that easy conversation that you have when you first meet someone that you know you get on with. That person who is special. And that cannot be created, however hard you work at it. Khalil Gibran, the Lebanese poet, says this: "Love is the offspring of spiritual affinity. And unless that affinity is created in a moment, it will not be created in years or even generations." What he was saying was, that easy conversation that you have with someone, you cannot make that up. It's something that just happens. And I think that's true of life, isn't it? There are people that we instantly get on with, people that we know are going to be good friends to us, people we can easily talk to. And there are others, however hard we try, we just can't seem to be on their same wavelength. We know when we are with the person who is going to be important to us. There is the importance of that first meeting. And that's what happened to those disciples that we heard about in our reading from St. John. Those disciples met Jesus, and it seemed right. And then we have a little bit of a difference. Nathanael was told by Philip, "Come, we've met the one who's special. He's come from Nazareth." And then we hear, don't we, Nathanael's skepticism. He doubts that anything good could ever come out of Nazareth. And then he meets Jesus. He has that first meeting with him. And he realizes he is the one. He is the special one. He's had that special conversation with him. And then things are different. And we hear Nathanael's words. Jesus said to him, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." And Nathanael responded. And he realized that this was the Son of God, the King of Israel. Often in the Gospel of John, Jesus knows things that are not known to others. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman whom Jesus knew all about her marital history. Jesus discloses things that have previously been kept concealed. And Nathanael has now spoken with Jesus and he believes he is the Messiah. He has met him. He knows that he is the one. Confession is always at the heart of discipleship. As Christians, we are called to share the good news of Jesus. Philip had met the Lord, and he went and shared it with Nathanael, and he brought him to the Lord. As Christians, we are called to share that good news. And sometimes it's in unexpected settings and situations. The question is, are we, or will we, share the good news? And even if we say yes to that question, what does it mean to put it into practice? How do you put it into practice in your daily life? So how do we all see Jesus? Do we see Jesus with Nathanael's eyes of skepticism, or with the eyes of faith? Nathanael was to follow from that moment. And then we had that wonderful story of Samuel and Eli. Samuel didn't know God, and Eli guided him, although he was almost blind. Samuel heard the voice, and he went and sought guidance. Samuel is obedient. He's innocent. He's called to be a prophet. He is the wave of God's future. What about Eli? Eli was the priest. Priesthood followed down in family lines. He was the priest. He had a deep faith. He was sensitive to the voice of God. He's not too old or too distracted that he doesn't recognize the holy voice. And it is no surprise to Eli that the Lord speaks. He is submissive to the divine word. Samuel is given, the young boy, Samuel, is given this most disturbing of messages. Samuel, the young lad, given a message about the man who had brought him up. And you know, Eli must have realized that it wasn't going to be a good message, because he said, didn't he, "Don't hide the message from me. Tell me the truth. Tell me what's going on." Isn't it interesting that God speaks to Samuel, the young boy, about the future of Eli's family? And how hard that must have been for Eli to be told by Samuel, this young lad, that Eli's family line, this family line of priesthood, was about to come to an end. But Eli, what does he do? He doesn't resist. He doesn't question what has been said. He accepts it as the truth. Eli emerges as this model character who submits to the word of the Lord, even though that word is going to mean his own death. The boy Samuel is a marvelous, innocent vehicle for that word. This is a story. The overriding, transcendent, but concrete purposes of God, to which we all have to submit. A purpose that works for the good, but also for the ill. We need to listen to what God is saying. We need to confirm it with others. And then we need to heed it. But I want to think that one of the most important parts of this story, one of the greatest parts, is that it is a story of hope. Right at the beginning of this passage, it said, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there was not many visions." Now, visions and the word of God are two types of that divine gift that are given to prophets. And the fact that they'd become rare suggests that not only was Israel in dire need of guidance, but there was this emphasis of surprise in that call. But those words went on to say, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. The lamp and the ark, they're both signs of God's presence. This is the beginning of a new era. God, who they hadn't heard of for a while, they hadn't seen the visions, they hadn't heard his word, suddenly comes back to them. God is speaking again, just as he would have done in many, many years before that to other prophets. But it will end the line of Eli's priesthood. God is the Holy One who intrudes when he is least expected. And we are all surprised by God's call. I wonder, have you ever sat back and thought what your call is? How has God spoken to you? Why are you in the place where you are or doing what you do? And do you ever share that story? Because personal testimony has always been one of the most powerful ways of bringing people to faith. And such witness of a significant theme in the recruitment of the disciples in John's gospel. They witnessed from one to the other, and that's how the disciples all came to be. That's how followers have continued to follow, because people witness of their faith and their call. I was called to ministry most unexpectedly. I don't know if I've shared the story with you before, but I used to be in banking, and that's what my career had been for many moons. And one day the project I'd been working on came to an end, and I said to my husband, I'm going up for an interview and I've got to choose what I'm going to do as my next project. And as I was being interviewed, I don't know why, and they said to me, what do you want to do next? And I said, I'll have a redundancy package, please. It shocked me as much as my boss. And I left, travelling home, thinking, what on earth is my husband going to say to me when I get home and tell him, I'm leaving. I had no idea what I was going to do next. But I was in that sort of job that I could take anywhere. I did coaching, training, business development. And I thought that's what I would be doing. But God had a different passage for me. My husband then used to play golf with our minister. And it was while they were on the golf course, he came home one day and he said, we've been talking about you. I said, oh, yes. He said, we've decided that you should go into ministry. I said, oh, yes. You forget that one. And here I am. God calls us. He intrudes into our lives in the most unexpected places. God speaks to the depths of our hearts, an intimacy that tugs at our hearts, and the initiative is always from God. We need to keep up our conversations with God. We are part of a community, and we need to support one another, and we need to listen to what God is saying to us. We need to understand how God calls us in ways that may astonish us. Only together can Samuel, the young boy who doesn't know God, and Eli, the old man who is nearly blind, actually do something about that calling. Together, it works. Each of us is called. Each of us is called to do specific work for God in the world. I wonder, is your heart and mind open to what God is saying to you? Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to share the love of God? Are you ready to respond? Samuel said, here I am, Lord. You called me.